When we open Genesis, we're not just reading another ancient creation myth, we're encountering a revolutionary text that fundamentally reimagines humanity's relationship with the divine. Unlike surrounding Babylonian myths, where gods emerge from pre-existing chaos, create humans as servants, and remain capricious and often malevolent, Genesis presents something radically different. Its famous opening line, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth," is a masterpiece of compression, approximating the instantaneous realization of divine intent. The narrative portrays our familiar world, sun illuminating earth, sea creatures swarming, birds in flight, each seen in wondrous singularity, yet unified through seven iterations of good. What makes this revolutionary is its insistence that goodness was created simultaneously with everything called good. The text maintains perfect silence about what existed before the beginning, setting it apart from myth while inviting comparison to scientific cosmology. Something happened once that continues to unfold in being as we know it, with all consequences unfolding in time, which Einstein suggested might be our most persistent illusion. The cosmos, infinitesimal at its origins, finds true nothingness inconceivable to our imagination. This vision has profound implications. If goodness is intrinsic to creation from the beginning, rather than merely the order following divine triumph over chaos, then the material world itself carries inherent value. Unlike surrounding mythologies where humans are marginal servants, Genesis portrays them as creation's center, with no competitors for God's attention. Genesis reveals a world designed for human enjoyment, noting trees' beauty before their utility as food. This suggests God intended aesthetic pleasure for us and shared his perception with beings made in his image. Unlike Babylonian myths depicting humans as divine servants, Genesis presents us as God's companions who share in creation's delight. While God permits human dominion over animals after the flood, the original vision shows peaceful coexistence with humans as gardeners and caretakers. Unlike cultures celebrating hunting as divine sport, the Bible depicts wild creatures living naturally, with prophecies of harmony where the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Our view of humankind often overlooks our collective power as a species. Our dominion suggests we exist beyond the natural order, making Earth a small theater for this great drama of encounter of God with humankind, perfectly scaled for human consciousness. Genesis presents a paradox where divine intent shapes events while human choices remain meaningful. God's humanism ensures even minor figures play essential roles in history, while apparent wrongs become crucial turning points in Israel's story. Abraham, a landless wanderer, receives God's unconditional promises that carry demands. His extraordinary relationship with God exists beneath an ordinary pastoral life. Through this childless nomad, renamed Father of Many Nations, God promises to bless all earthly families. A dream vision reveals his descendants' future slavery as part of divine purpose. This introduces God's plan unfolding across vast timeframes, complicating the problem of evil. Unlike mortal Babylonian deities, Genesis shows God responding to human failure while affirming human worth. The narrative portrays a God who feels grief, yet remains faithful, not unchanging, but constant in love. His justice transcends vengeance, protecting rather than punishing Cain, demonstrating that righteousness and compassion define his nature despite human violence. Jacob's story illustrates divine-human interaction in Genesis. Before Pharaoh, he acknowledges his difficult life was shorter than his ancestors. As Israel's namesake, he received covenant promises he wouldn't live to see fulfilled, demonstrating how human choices intersect with divine purpose. Rebekah, initially barren like other biblical mothers, bears contentious twins. God reveals two nations struggle within her, with the older serving the younger. The divine presence remains faithful while allowing these covenant bearers autonomy. Esau trades his birthright to Jacob for lentils, providence working through unexpected means. Jacob, born grasping Esau's heel and named supplanter, gains the birthright through his brother's rashness and his own cunning, defying conventional inheritance. After years of exile from deceiving his father, Jacob wrestles all night with a mysterious figure. Despite a dislocated hip, he demands a blessing. The man renames him Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed, transforming his deceptive past into heroic struggle. Jesus' teachings on debt illuminate Jacob's encounter with Esau. The Lord's Prayer uses debts instead of sins, showing how forgiveness means permanently abandoning expectations of repayment. Like Jacob's stolen birthright, some debts cannot be repaid. When Jacob meets Esau, he bows 7 times, a royal gesture. The tension dissolves as Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. This spontaneous grace moves us deeply. Jacob's offered wealth acknowledges the debt rather than truly compensating for it. Esau's reply, "I have enough, my brother," reveals grace's true nature. Their reconciliation, though genuine, remains incomplete. Jacob declines Esau's invitation to travel together and makes false promises about following to Seir before turning to Succoth, showing how grace can coexist with human fear. This pattern of grace transcending justice appears throughout Genesis, from God's protection of Cain to his covenant with Noah and blessing of Jacob despite deception. Genesis concludes with Joseph's story of betrayal and reconciliation. As Rachel's favored son, marked by a splendid coat, Joseph's prophetic dreams of his brothers bowing to him spark their resentment. When Jacob sends Joseph to check on his brothers, their murderous plot becomes an instrument of providence. Sold by Midianites to Ishmaelites, Joseph rises to success in Egypt, first under Potiphar, then in prison where he manages operations. The story peaks when Joseph's silver cup is found in Benjamin's sack. Judah's offer to take Benjamin's place, noting that Jacob's life is bound up in the lad's life, moves Joseph to reveal himself tearfully. Joseph recognizes divine purpose. God did send me before you to preserve life. Genesis frames itself with acts of forgiveness, God's of Cain and Joseph's of his brothers, showing how providence transforms evil into good through human history. Genesis establishes Scripture's core foundations through ordinary lives experiencing birth, death, love, and sorrow. It reveals humanity's divine image while portraying Jacob's complex relationship with God as a radical theological statement. After Jacob and Joseph's deaths, Israel endures Egyptian captivity until Moses' emergence. This experience birthed compassionate laws protecting foreigners, their suffering transformed into justice rather than bitterness. The Abrahamic tradition began with a gentle monotheist whose influence spans faiths. Genesis reveals this world-changing movement through lives touched by divine purpose, with Abraham's starlit encounter marking humanity's shared perspective with the Creator. In our age of inequality, Genesis poses vital questions. If all humans bear divine image, how should we relate? If providence works through flawed choices toward redemption, how might we participate?